If you would, take your Bibles and go to Romans. I want to talk about the renewed mind this morning. Romans chapter 12. Be the first place that we go. What it means to renew the mind means to change. It is to put on new thoughts. It's to eliminate thoughts that are contradictory to God's word. So when you put on the word, you are renewing your mind. Now, it's not a catchy phrase. We'll get to it here. But look at what it says in verse 2 of chapter 12. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you take those thoughts, you take and put off the old thoughts of the world, and you put on the things of God, what he says, you are in the process of renewing your mind. If you don't renew your mind, let's say you just want, I just want to know enough of the Bible to get saved. Okay, you get saved. But you don't walk with God. You don't really manifest in a lot of his blessings, power. You may have peace in your heart. Do you see what I mean? But you're not going to do what the apostles did. You're not going to walk in a great deal of authority or power or be a real minister in the sense that God wants his people to be. If you're going to do the word, you've got to put on the word in your head, your heart. You got to new it up. And, so the word here, and this, by the way, this section of Romans starts, this is how we are to walk. This is what God wants. He wants your whole life. He wants you to love him and to be a living sacrifice to him. So it says and be not conformed. The word conformed in the Greek is the word schemes. All right? Don't get involved in the schemes, the patterns, the mold of the world. The world in which we live wants you to think a certain way. In fact, the things that you've been experiencing and listening to and the oddities that have been coming out of people's mouths almost for, it seems like, for the last several years. Boys are not boys, girls are not girls, and all the rest of the nonsense. Why is this being repeated all the time? Why is this just from one program to another cartoon to something else? Why is it being repeated? It's because the world wants to put a new scheme in your head. It's doing the opposite of what we would call the renewed mind. It's doing the degenerate mind. How's that? Instead of newing it up, we're ripping it down. All right? But it's the same spiritual process. And I want you to understand this. This is not a gimmick. This is not positive thinking. This is a spiritual process. And it produces power. It produces the things that God says it will produce. So, you want a life that's filled with peace, then you put the word on in your head. You want a life that's filled with confidence and without fear, you put the word of God on and put the promises on. You want to be confident in the fact that God will answer your prayers. This is how it's done. All right? So the world's got its, don't be conformed to its schemes, to the things that it wants you to think. If the word says, don't fear, then you have no reason to fear. But you have to put it on and keep it on. You have to develop this and not let it slip. You got to keep every thought obedient to Christ. So you don't be conformed to this world, but you be transformed. It's a transfiguration. Like Jesus was, the same place this is used at the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was changed literally. We are to change ourselves literally in our minds. It's to transform from a metamorphosis. A metamorpho is the Greek word. It's metamorphosis is the English word. It's to transform from like a caterpillar to a butterfly. You do this by renewing your mind, by taking God's word and literally believing exactly what it says and keeping it in your head. I'll share with you the how of it in a little bit. But I just want you to get this. The word mind is in this in the Greek here is the entire mind. It's not just a little piece of it, not just, you know, your part of your head, your thinking. Your entire mind gets transformed here. And the word renewed is the word anakatos. And ana means new, and katos mean, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but katos means up. So it's a newing up of your mind. It's, I'm taking this thing that has been filled with the world, filled with fear, filled with doubt, filled with all kinds of garbage, right? Good word for it. And I am going to put what God says in it. And you're newing it up. You're not degenerating it. And that's, the adversary does this with people on the opposite end, and God tells you what to do on the positive end. God communicated to mankind with words. Your attitude towards these words determines everything about your spirituality. If this is just the words of a bunch of nice old guys that were, you know, spiritual and walk with God, then that's all you got. But if you understand, like I do, and like I have taught, that every word of God, that God has inspired holy men to speak, is from His mouth to you, then you take the Old Testament, the Gospels, the church epistles, as the word of God to you. And they all have equal authority. They have different lessons to teach, but they all have equal authority. And go to Romans. This newing up, it's also talked about in verse chapter 6. The same word is used just to get a flavor for it. In verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That word newness is that same word, katos, and or kantos. The other, in chapter 7, verse 6, says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead therein, we were held, and we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We should serve in the newness, katos. See, this is a newing up. It's a brand new thing. It's not a scrubbing up, a cleaning up of the old. This is a brand new thing. We serve in newness of the spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 32, it says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Actually, I wanted to read that whole section, starting in 22. It says, "And put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed," there's that word again, "in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," all these really, think about all of these things, these negative, worldly things. There are people who are walking around. I mean, it's more prevalent. It seems more prevalent, maybe because it's more talked about. But hatred and bitterness and all of these things seem to be at the top of everybody's agenda. You know, I go hang out with these old guys to exercise, right? And they're all complaining about something. There ain't nobody happy about not. What would you live this long for? To be miserable? I mean, is that it? So, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's all about what God has done for us. That's why we do these things, right? He's poured out the love of God. He's poured out the Spirit in our life. That Spirit gives us the ability to walk in love. You didn't have that ability before. Now you do. There are people with the Spirit of God who don't walk in love, because they haven't renewed their mind. They'll never, or they won't manifest the power and the blessings that God has given them, whether it be the manifestations, the love, the ability to be able to walk in fellowship in an intimate way with the Almighty God, until they believe what the Scripture says. There's a lot of people who believe in God. They believe Jesus died for them, and they're afraid that they're going to go to hell. They don't know. What's going to happen to me when I die? I don't know. It's because I don't know what the word says. What's going to go on? What's going to go on? Does God really love me? He can't possibly love me, not with what I've done in my life. That's torture. You want people are living in torture because they believe lies. They're putting children through torture. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm a boy. Maybe I'm a girl. I don't know about you, but I remember how confused I was when I was a kid. Impressionable. You could be, I would go, if every 8-year-old was able to choose what they were going to be for the rest of their life, you'd have all cowboys and princesses. Or some other nonsense thing, right? But you want them to choose, you want an 8-year-old to figure out that they haven't even gone through in life, puberty. It's bizarre. It's hurtful. It's evil. It's evil. And all it does is it's the opposite of the renewed mind. It's another lie to compound the hurt, the devastation. It's just another lie. And it'll go out of fashion sooner or later, I hope. But the point is, just like many of the other lies that are propounded throughout the centuries, there's nothing new here. Some of them last for thousands of years. Some of these lies come and go in a short period of time. But the point is, what do you think? What you think is what you are. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, that's only part of the verse, because it's talking about an evil man that is grooming you. Okay? It's grooming you. Oh, come on, have a meal, enjoy, be nice. Hang out with Kenny, he'll give you something. be nice. But the truth of the matter is he doesn't care a blessed thing. He's just using you. See, it's as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's positive and negative. Colossians chapter 3. Couple more here on this. Verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed. There's that word again. In knowledge, after the image of him that created him. It's renewed in the knowledge of him. All right? This is all talking about a newing up, a putting on new words that come from God. And those things set you free. Jesus Christ said, the truth will make you free. It's spiritual, it's powerful, it's the manifestation, it's how to manifest the power of God in your life on almost every level by believing what he says. So there are 4 steps really when it comes to renewing the mind, 4 practical things. First thing is talked about here in 2 Timothy. These are all very, very simple truths. But if you do them, guess what? We're talking about blessings. If you don't, then you got what you got. This is really what it comes down to you and I making this our own. This is not a retemery for no reason. This is not just another nice positive thought. You know, there are people who sell the thing of positive thinking. And there is a benefit to this. You know what I mean? I mean, okay, I'm going to think about nice things, flowers, and happiness, and prosperity, rather than thinking about negative things. It's always more pleasant to think about something nice, right? It's always much more pleasant to look at something beautiful than to look at something ugly. I mean, but now we're talking spiritual. That's a whole different thing. So a pretty picture is not going to change my life. I may enjoy it, but I'm not going to be able to change my life with it. Do you understand? But God's word does. It really does. So, what did I tell you to do? Oh, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is the first great key. It has to be done. There's no getting around. You have to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The first, greatest, most important thing. You're not going to get this just by hearing me talk. You're not going to get this by listening to a lot of nice Christian music. You're not going to get what we're talking about here. You're not going to get any of it unless you personally pick up the Bible and start studying what it says and thinking and putting on what it says. When you read the scriptures and you come to the place where over and over and over and over again, God says he loves you. You are faced with a real dilemma. Am I going to believe what this says and change my mind, new it up to a truth? Because I have always believed that he doesn't love or can't possibly love an individual like me. Am I going to believe that he has forgiven my sins and I can be free of that? Or am I not? You only get this by the discipline of taking the word, studying it, putting it on in your head, not allowing yourself to get talked out of it, and not allowing yourself to bastardize those truths that are in there. There are people who, oh yeah, I heard that once upon a time, and then they talk about it and talk, oh, believing. Oh, you can believe anything that you want, and you know, God's happy with it. You just have to believe. Oh, you know, if I'm a good person, I'll go to heaven. The Bible does teach you should be a good person. Okay? But don't bastardize that truth. The reason that you can do anything good is because you've accepted Jesus as Lord. And then God is going to work within you, and you're going to emulate the Lord. That's a discipline. It's not on your terms. Not on your terms at all. And when you twist the real truth, you don't have truth. So you keep it straight for what God teaches, not what you want to think about what God has taught. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believes." When you receive the word, it has to be with that attitude. This is God's word. When you read the scriptures, this is God's word. This is not Paul's word. This is not Matthew's word. This is not Hosea's word. These are words that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And if that really becomes your locked-in thought, then when you read it, you're not confused. See, when I read these commentaries, these are very educated men. They're much more educated than I am. I mean, there's no doubt about this. But their perspective is that these are the words of Paul, Matthew, John. Jesus' words, yeah, they're in red. Those are the ones you pay attention to. But all Moses is Moses. Hosea is Hosea. You know, it's a much more casual, we're not really putting "thus saith the Lord" on everything. When you read the scriptures, I'm telling you, it says in the beginning, I think, of this epistle, it says, "Paul and Silas and Timotheus to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every epistle pretty much tells you, I'm an apostle, a sent one of God and the Lord. He's not speaking his own thoughts. He's speaking what he's been given to give. And when the Thessalonians heard Paul, they received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. It's the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's when it's effectual. You can learn it intellectually and not have it be effectual in your life. And Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." See, it's the word of God that you put on in your head that makes you of benefit, that you walk with the Lord to all pleasing. I mean, what did Jesus Christ do? Jesus Christ, if you read the Gospels, it says that I always do the work of my Father. What my Father has given me to speak, that I speak. What he's told me to do, that's what I do. I don't do my own will. I do the work of him that sent me. That is exactly, you have that ability. If you want it, you have the ability to walk like Christ because you got Christ in you. You got the ability to walk in the same fellowship he had with the Father. You have the ability to walk in the closeness. you have the ability to be that powerful. You have the ability to, in your everyday, you can listen to God and do what He's working in you to do. And you know what? That would change the whole world around you. You want to be a man or a woman of God, or you want to be a schlep? That was an old word. I don't know what it means, but it's an old word them old timers did when I was a kid. I think it's Jewish in nature. You're a schlep. Doesn't sound good. See, that's the second part here. The second thing, great principle, or step that you need to do to renew the mind is you need to recognize who you are in Christ. That's what I was just talking about. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Oh, just one of my favorite verses. In verse 1 it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." What's your attitude towards, what do you look at when you look in the mirror? You know, and I know this is a hard thing to do. It's not an easy thing to look in the mirror in the morning for me. Right? This ain't pretty. But really, when you wake up and you splash the water on your face, and you look, are you a son of God? Or are you just whatever you think you are? Which is a whole lot less than a son of God. What do you identify as? You know, when I was a kid, I was a kid from Astoria and Steinway Street. We had a little group we called ourselves stuff. When I got older, I identified with the job that I had. I was a sheet metal worker. You know, the truth, when I got into the Word and I started to identify as a son of the living God, my life changed. I'm not just anything that the world tells me I am. And they got more labels to separate people and to distinguish them now than they ever have before. They got more letters. You know, and you can either refuse to identify yourself and allow other people to identify you as whatever they want, or you can choose to identify yourself the way God chooses. That's always up to you. But this is the second step. You know, because you are God's children. You are His sons and daughters. You are special. Very special people. And go to Philippians chapter 2. But this is the next big step to being the process of renewing your mind. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Scriptures teach us that the mind that Christ had, we're supposed to have. Imagine having His mind. Imagine waking up in the morning and having the mind of Jesus Christ. The fellowship that He had with God, the surety that He had, the power that He had, the confidence that He had. Nothing shook our Lord. When he needed an answer, it was there. Why? Because the Father gave it to him. You know, when they held that lady and they caught her in the very act of adultery, and they said, Moses says, stone her, what do you say? That would rattle me. And he came up with the perfect answer. You're commanded, this is not a suggestion, put on, verse 5 again, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The way in which he lived is the way in which we are to live. The way in which he thought is the way we're supposed to think. That is, because you're his son. You are God's son. You're here in his stead, it says in Corinthians. You are here on this earth instead of Christ. Doing the same job that he was doing. It's called reconciling the world back to God. Go to chapter 3, verse 15. It says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it, reveal even this to you. You don't know what to think. God'll give you the answer just like he did the Lord. But you have to choose to put on his mind. You have to choose to believe who you are in relationship to God and not the world. The world tells you that you are, you fill in the blanks. I know what it told me that I was. I know what it pounded in my head. Now I choose to believe that I am a son of God. You know, when somebody tells me, oh, you're no good, you're this, you're that, you're the other thing. Okay. But no, I don't believe that. This is what I believe. And let's go to the third point. If you're going to, and this is all practical, you have to study the word. You have to identify the way God tells you to identify yourself. You have to put on his word, all those promises, all what he says, and believe it. You knew your mind up with that. You have to identify that you are his child and believe that. All right? You have to choose this. This is just a second. The third step is you have to practice walking like our Lord. And that's practice. You're not going to do this. Oops. You know, I'm just going to. It's all done. Just like everything else you've had to do in life, you have to have a new mental muscle memory, a new attitude, a new everything. Nothing happens overnight. I trained myself to be what I was when I was a kid. All right? And I have to train myself. And training takes repetition. Okay? Nobody learns anything overnight. And nobody, you may know it, but then to practice it every day in every situation, let's just practice walking in love. Not lying. Oh, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. Now, that may get you in trouble, and you could ask God for a little wisdom. But the truth of the matter is, you don't want to lie. when a stranger asks me what's my opinion about a certain thing, I try to choose my words wisely, but I tell them the truth. But you want to practice walking like our Lord. See, Colossians chapter 3. And verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto... Now that's different. So you're going to deal with your family? You do it unto the Lord and not unto men. And to go to work, you do it for the Lord and not unto men. I was just told our sister, Wendy retired, right? And she had a little speech at the end of it, all right? Now, she was pretty high up there in the corrections department. Well, anyhow, she was at all the hot shots there, all the other people there, and what Vince told me about, because he was there. And he said, Wendy got up there and said, well, now that I'm retired, I can say anything I want to you. And she started witnessing the word to them. Something I guess you're forbidden to do. Say, no, don't be doing that. But she could openly and lovingly, she shared the word with them. She shared how God had taken care of her. She shared everything about what the Lord did. What a wonderful blessing. You know? And it was. My point is, you have to practice walking like the whole reason we are here. You have a job. You have a ministry. You have a responsibility. You've been given so much freely. You have received freely. Give. You give God's word to people. You reconciling them back to God. In order to do that, you got to walk like Christ. You got to practice doing it. I'm still practicing. I am still practicing. And I screw it up all the time. You just get back up and you continue to practice. You got the God-given ability. You got the Spirit of God. You've got the promises. You've got everything. You got to constantly renew up this mind. And then choose to practice these things. You know, Ephesians 4. Same beautiful truths, a lot of these things. But in verse 25, it says, and wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. This is something you have to catch yourself in. It says, be angry and sin not. It's okay to be annoyed. Because that's the word, angry here. It's the word to be annoyed. You know what the word for sin is, for anger? Thumos, tempest. Like a boiling teapot boils over. When you get that way, that's sin. When you're annoyed at the evil that's in the world, that's not sin. Jesus Christ was annoyed, greatly annoyed at the Pharisees. He was greatly annoyed at the lousy doctrine they were teaching the people. He was greatly annoyed when he threw over the tables at the money changers in the temple. These are all the same word. But you know what? He didn't boil over. He didn't lose control. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sin. That takes practice. Okay? Takes a lot of practice. Don't neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor that he might have to give. You know, I read in the other one, it was in Proverbs 23. It says the person that's lazy, it used a different word, but the person that's lazy dresses himself in rags. And that's the truth. We're to work hard, so we have to give. And the last point I want to make is that probably one of the more important points is you got to live love. The renewed mind, study, identify yourself as a son of God. Okay, practice the things that the Word speaks. Live like Jesus. Do your best. It's a practice. And the same thing is probably the most important, because it's really under the third one too, but just think of it as a separate thing. Just choose to live love. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Love doesn't fail. You can't do it wrong when you're being loving. You can be wrong technically, but you're not going to hurt anybody when you're being loving. You know, so Ephesians 5, verse 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." Again, our Lord gave the example. We are to follow our Father as children. You've got to identify you are his child. He is your Father. You've got to, and then do that example that he gave and walk in love. You may not know everything about the scriptures. You may not know a lot of different things. When I started out as a Christian, this was the thing. This was the hard one. Because I wasn't loving. I wasn't. Just wasn't. All right? So to learn to walk in a loving manner to people was, that was something to practice. That was something to practice. And every time I did it successfully, I saw. It was like, wow, this is nice. And when I had other people who loved me in that same manner, wow, I never saw that before. I mean, do you remember what it was to live in the center of the world and have no God? And the only reason you had friends is because they got something out of you. Or it was for group protection. But anytime they felt like it, they could make fun of you, leave you back. See you later, Charlie. They didn't have something to chip in for the get. Hey, see you later. So, I'll get too far on that. Just you choose to be like Christ. and walk in love. It's a sacrificial kind of walk. It's a walk that forgives the ungodly. It's a walk that teaches the word to people who, you know, you're praying to reach people that you don't really want to hang out with. You're praying for folks that are unkind. I pray for the leaders that are in this world. I'm not happy with these people. I pray for them. I pray for God to deal with them. I pray for his instruction, his judgment, his reproof, his whatever. Because whatever my Father does will be loving. And I pray for them so that God's people can lead a quiet and peaceable life. I pray for the people who serve us. I pray, there are plenty of bum. Yeah, I pray for them. I pray for everybody's children. One thing I've added in the last many months. I pray for every child because I can't stand the thought of what's going on towards them. I just pray for them. I pray for God to intervene. And of course, I pray for my family. I pray for the people that are closest to pray for my church. But I pray for people who don't, who never know me. I'll never know. And I pray with them just as much earnest as the people who are closest to me. It's just, I didn't always, but I practiced. When Jesus Christ prayed for us in John 17, for those that weren't of this flock, he was talking to his guys. He prayed for us. God heard that prayer. You and I are sitting here. Whole bunch of Gentiles. And yet the Lord foresaw it and prayed for us. God answered that prayer. I pray for my children and for their spouses when they were born. And I'm praying for my grandchildren's spouses that I'll never see, maybe. But I believe the Lord will answer the prayer. So you study, walk in love, you emulate your Lord. If you want to really, truly make an impact and not just settle for whatever you're settling for, these are key things to do. This is something that you can improve on every single one of these points and elevate your walk and the things that God has given to you in your life by just being a heck of a lot more diligent. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.